They're doing bluebacks in Queen Charlotte. That was down where the Georgia Hotel. Mm-hmm. I had nothing to do. I thought, I'll go there. I could do hand filling. And she was there, that blonde woman. You're the one fired me. Oh, yes, I remember you. She looked at me. She thought I'd be cowed down, you know, being out from the cannery. Oh, yes, I told her. I was the one. She looked at me. She turned around. She went in. I went in. I started filling. When my filling would go to the line, just go right through. They tried to grab one way, just right. It was just, they know that when the others come, they got a pile to fix it, to wait and to see that they were fixed, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh, I told that lady on the line, this is terrible the way they do their work. They don't know how to fill, she says, Miss Charlie. They really don't. Oh, pretty soon I'll be taken off, I told her. I can't be forelady here. I'm forelady in Great Northern. But I'll be taken off soon. But I want to earn money by hand filling in case I forgot. Oh, if only had you, she says. When your line, your work comes, it just goes right through. There's no way, nothing at all. Thank you, I told her. That was my, almost my life job from the time I was small.
Being a cannery worker?
Yeah, the cannery.
Did people ever try and stop it being piecework and get an hourly wage? Did people accept piecework, or do you ever want to get paid by the hour instead of piecework?
It's all hour work after.
Was it?
After I got down this way. Mm. Except North Shore, they paid by the ticket. But they couldn't make much, so they asked to go on our work.
Right.
A lot of white ladies, some elderly Indian women went there. They were workers of long ago. They couldn't make money. But I told them, I guess it's all right, Mr. Scott, Tom Scott. I'll go by our work. I'll be leaving soon. We're closing soon, he says. Oh, they closed after I went home. I lived in Park Royal. Oh, the Sakai season starting. Two of the cars waiting for me. One from North Shore, one from Great Northern. I told my daughter, Barbara, I think I'll go to Great Northern. It's more work there, I told her. And then I'm the boss there. All right, Mom, she says. I'll be starting school soon, she says. So what I do when I was working down there, I'd get up 5 in the morning and cook supper, cool it off, stick it in the fridge. That's when I was working. I'd make their lunches, school lunches, my lunch, if I cared, and my husband's lunches working in the mill. Then my son was home. He wasn't very well. And I had an old man staying there, sleeping up in the attic, to chop wood, keep fire going, to make some, heat his food, you know. He was laid up in bed. I don't know where this man is gone to now. He's kind of a little bit off his head. They had him in the asylum for a while. Houston, Ernie Houston. I'll be starting to work, I told my son. I don't know how long I'll be. I might not be long now until almost fall time. Then I'll be really busy. I'm getting stronger, Mum, he says. Very soon I can do some jobs. He used to do leather work because he had TB very bad, you know. He'd make wallets, he'd make belts and other leather work. People would hire and buy it of him. That was his spare
money.
he had money to buy more leather. Just getting on his nerves, though. Not earning very much, and he was getting stronger, stronger. But I don't know where he went to get a job, somewhere in town, where they do leather work. And he worked in town while I was working in Canary. Then we got along real good. We were all working, the girls were going to school, Sally and my daughter Barbara. Then one day, I come home from my work. I got home early that day. In the meantime, they were bringing me babies, you know, that the mother died or they weren't wanted. I take them in. My daughter stayed home, the one I lost, the oldest one. I guess I'll stay home, Mom, she says, and I'll cook, clean up, all right, I told her. Because she had cancer in the lungs, you know, she wasn't well. And they brought another baby. Mother died. Oh, my. And Sally was growing, the one I picked up from hospital. I got Priscilla. She was a dark eyelashes and kind of, oh, a dark blonde. I called her Dirty Blonde. And she was fair, my cousin's daughter. And her mother was my niece, my first cousin's daughter, her mother. So I took her. So I had two, Sally and Priscilla. They grew up. Sometimes we'd go to town after I finished work, my husband and I. Nobody to babysit. We want to go half a day off, weekend, Saturday or Sunday. I just see a movie. Well, we take the babies along. My husband's got Priscilla. She's real pretty. And Sally's standing, just a doll, you know. Long, lash, small face. And a little poke bonnet for her, you know, red coat. White lady looked. I heard this, look at that baby. These old people have. Aren't they beautiful children? I think that was our children. Priscilla, being fair, you know. Sally, like a doll. That's from Park Royal, got on. She grabbed Sally, this white lady. Oh, if I could only have her, she says. I thought she was a devil, Sally. She'd think of the ugliest things to do. I was scared. She held Sally. Sally looked through her lashes. I could see. Because she's thinking something bad, I thought. Oh, she didn't do nothing. We got off in Vancouver, Dunsmuir bus. We went to a show. We made it home safe with our babies, had two babies. Then in the later life, while I was working, my son and he had a white woman from up back east. We called her Tex. I think her name was Louisa. But we didn't know she'd been married before up there at Mr. Sheck. We didn't know. Real nice white woman, young girl. And she fell in love with my son. He wasn't very well, but she says, I'll work for him. Then they started fighting over my son because and not praising ourselves. My husband and I got big names amongst the Indians. My husband had the biggest name of all the Indians, Chihualtan, and where I come from too, Chotohano. So my children had big names, you know. And the three girls started fighting for my son, although he wasn't strong. We'd work for him, they said, just to get a big name. And this English girl got my son, Louisa, and we never knew she'd been married before. Real pretty girl. She stayed there, she worked with me. My son liked her, loved her. until long after they moved down here, across here. They had a home there. She was really good with everything. She had the house spotless. She made my son buy everything because he used to get good wages, and she worked in the cannery. She was a pretty good worker in everything. I told her what to do in the cannery. We worked long hours. They got along all right until one day she got found out, and she went away and hid away. I felt sorry. My son was so upset. He was just shaking, you know. That was the end.
Oh.
I kept on working. Kept on working till one day I told my husband, I don't feel so good, I told him. Go to the doctor, he says. I was working the cannery. I told Mr. the head man there, I'm going to the doctor. I don't feel so good, I told him. All right, he says. And all the bosses would be together in the lunchroom, you know, for coffee. We'd be talking, foremen, warehouse foreman, the salesman, and Frank Millard, the old man Millard. We'd be all sitting in the dining room talking. Oh, I went upstairs, I cleaned up. I don't get very dirty because I don't handle the fish now. And I put on my suit and changed my shoes, nylon. I ran for the bus and I went. The doctors and the immigration down, you know.
Yeah.
English doctors. They didn't know the Indians. I went there and I told them my trouble. He didn't know my life. He says, you know, when you get old to your age, I was about 50 or so, you got to walk, do a lot of walking. That will make your blood circulate. I never did walk in the Canada. I run all the time. So the nurse knew me, Mrs. Kamba. She was smiling because she knows me, my life. I went to her. You got no trouble. Your blood is poor, she told me. Here's some iron pills she gave me in a bottle, you know. That will help you. Your blood gets poor. It's why you get run down. She says, thank you, I told her. And I hurried up. I'm going to work, Miss Comba. All right. And she looked at me and smiled. She heard the doctor say, I've got to do more walking. He thought I'd just sit like the way I am now, you know. I got back to the cannery. It was already 4 o'clock. And they're all in the dining room. They're having their coffee later. I went in there. I thought, I'll have a cup of coffee. Well, Charlie, they told me, what the doctor say? And I got the cannery. Oh, he just told me to do more walking. See that, Charlie? A foreman says, you're always running. I got all right, though, with them iron pills.
They helped, eh?
Yeah, they helped me a lot. Miss Kamba knew me enough.
So you were in the Fishermen's Union when you worked down here, eh? Were you in the union when you were a forelady?
Yes, I was in the Fishermen's Union.
What was that like?
Fishermen's Union were always back for us, helping us if anybody had trouble. They were good then. If there was any wages to raise up, they'd back us, like the hour. But my wages were never raised as for a lady. But it didn't get raised very much. I stayed with the Fishermen's Union. That's the Women's United Fishermen's. Fishermen's were a different lot. I stayed with them until I stopped working. They're very good to me. They helped me.
What kind of things did they help you with?
Oh, like if They couldn't do nothing with me because my wages were set, but I'd ask for help for the other ladies. If everything was on our work now, I told them, the Japanese and the Indians and some of white ladies, they'd like their wages raised. All right, we'll go to North Shore, he says. So I told them, ladies, did you want to join the Fishermen's Union? I don't know. Have you joined it? They asked me. I did. I said, just for my own protection. If anything went wrong, I'd have something to back me. But I don't need them now because I can always handle my own. And I don't get no wages raised or anything. I think we'll join, they said. So they all joined the Fishermen's Union, the Japanese and the Japanese fishermen joined the United. Then I heard there was a strike coming on, a big fisherman strike. And I was the boss there. And even the men all looked towards me. Didn't think I was anything, but they did come to me. The men worked there in the cannery. And then I told the ladies, tell your husband, no strike. If there's going to be a strike, it'll be a long strike. How are you going to pick up the wages you lost? Even if they're going to raise it 5-10 cents an hour more. How are you going to get it back? I told them. You can't remember, I told them. No strike, I don't want it. I says, I don't get much pay, but I'll lose that money that I got. That money I get if I'm not working. I go to the office there. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they call it. So the Japanese all voted no strike, the fishermen. And then I thought I'll catch the Indians because I'm the leader in the church when they barbecue and they have sports in the Catholic Church. I'll catch the leaders of the Northern Indians to come down just at that time, springtime. And they come down, the fishermen went to the wives. I told them all what was going on. The United Fishermen want a big strike. How are you going to get back your money? You people make a lot of money, Sakai time. I says, maybe some of you works as cooks on your men's sailing boats. Just think it over, I told them. These were from Bella Bella, Bella Coola, Alert Bay. I think some people from the island, not too many. They voted no strike, so the fishermen dropped, United Fishermen. And they never knew I was the one doing that. So I didn't want no strike. The more you strike, the more everything goes up. The price of living. What you lost during the strike, you can't get it back, even if they're going to raise your wages. I know that, I told them. So I was always the leader for a long time of the fishermen's. They respected me, the United Fishermen's. Mm-hmm. We know what you're doing, Josephine, they said. It's all right, they said. They had nothing against me. I'm not on piecework. I'm paid by the month, I told them. It doesn't bother me at all. It's the other people I'm worrying about at all. Worrying about their living for the winter. They're going to be a 1 month, 2 month strike. Are you going to be able to pay their living? I guess you're right, Josephine. Gordon, he was the leader then, Gordon. We don't come from Russia or anywhere, I told him. So we're Canadians. Yeah, you're right, he says, you're right. Oh, we kept on working, no strike. And then the foreman comes to me, I went to work next week. what happened? I heard there's going to be a strike. Oh, I guess he put it off, I told him. He didn't know I was going around, you know.
Telling people not to go out?
Yeah.
So were there, did people get wage raises anyhow? Were there other ways of raising wages? Or?
The manager raised a few cents each tray, and the workers got maybe 5 or 10 cents more without any strike or anything.
Did the union come in and negotiate for you? Did they come in and talk to the manager to raise the wages?
Yeah, they usually do, you know.
Yeah.
But then the manager, Mr. Manager down there told them, no, we don't follow you. We follow the workers, what they say. Oh, Gordon says, I know who you mean. He says, meant me. But we respect her.
Were you in, like, both the brotherhood or the sisterhood and the union at the same time?
I was in the sisterhood and I was in the United, too.
They were different organizations.
Yeah, they go together.
Yeah.
They're still on. Mm-hmm. I don't know about the United now. United Fishermen's. Maybe they're on, because I lost all track of them.
Yeah, they still exist. Yeah.
I lost all track of them after I laid off. I really couldn't. My health just broke.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I just stayed home. And then we started dancing, Indian dancing. Canary kept on working. And the wages were going up and up. They'd have big strikes in the later years. Wages going up and the cost of living was going up the same. There was no gain. Oh, I told my son, I guess there's different now. This cannery works different now. Your wages are high, your cost of living's the same. There's no difference. Work hard. I worked there in the Canadian. I'd go there, I'd start at 8. I'd quit 10 or 12 at night. I could hardly walk home.
You'd be so tired, eh?
So tired. About 4 days, my heels start bothering me, standing. All I was doing was inspecting, you know, as the cans were going. It's not hand filling, it's all machine filling.
Right.
But I had to watch it, that no bones are sticking up. I had to watch the washers, and I worked in the Canadian. Long hours there. They're still the same.
Lots of overtime.
Lots of overtime. Overtime, they get $10 an hour now. We used to get only 2 bits or 50 cents overtime. Now they get...
Was that something that the union did, was to get people overtime pay?
Yes.
Yeah. And also, did they try and change the hours of work, like get people regular hours of work?
Yeah, you get 8-hour regular work. After that, it starts overtime. Because if there's a boss there, they watch it, you know. If it's a worker boss, or else the Chinese boss and the Canadian. It's the only cannery now I know that's hiring Indians. That's how I found out the way they're working.
The others don't hire Indians?
They don't hire anywhere else.
Huh.
Stevenson, maybe. I've never been there to that Stevenson cannery.
In Rupert they do too?
No, Rivers Inlet. I don't know where else there'd be canneries working. But the only canneries I knew was Knights Inlet. We used to go to First Thin when my children were tiny. My husband used to go fish for Rivers Inlet. And we'd go up. We stayed in Strathcona Cannery. I'd work in the cannery, my husband be fishing. Then one day I told him, I'll go help you fishing weekend, Sunday night. I think that cove would be good, I told him. I think we'll make our money. So we went there and he set his net, shook his head, and the net sucked, it was just filled with fish. Ah, he started pulling it, he got so tired he couldn't take it off. I tried to help him, but I had a baby, I don't know which of my children were. Oh, gee, just 4 weeks. That was big money to us, $1,000.
Yeah.
Those days, a lot of money. And all the young boys, my brother, James Reed, my cousin, they were teenagers. They all made money. Some had $200-$300 fishing. Ah, they were goofy in the little skiffs, you know, they pull, no gas boats. Maybe the Japanese, I don't know. I remember when they got paid, my brother is dead now, he asked everybody, who's got dollar bills? And some gave him $5 to $2 bills for 10, some gave him 10, $1 bill. And he started going around the girls showing all the roll. They're all dollar, $2 bills, lots. They were so proud.
That they were making all that money?
Yeah. He made it more because they were small, you know.
Yeah.
Made lots.
Because they were small bills?
Yeah, $1, $2. Just to show off to the girls. My cousin James Reed. He was just a teenager.
So the sounds like the men used to go out on the boats and the women would work in the canneries.
Yes.
Did the women ever go on the boats?
Not now. Not that time.
Yeah.
Never did. I never heard of it.
Was that just because of custom or?
They never, must have been.
Yeah.
Because they never bothered to. They want to earn, have their own money. If they went to their husbands, the husband just take whatever, you know, they come into them. If they worked the cannery, it was their own, go their own pocket.
Oh.
That's why they all worked in the canneries. Even the young teenagers, 12, 13-year-olds, go work, wash fish, 25 cents an hour is a lot to them. Pursuit went to 40 cents and I raised the wages. Kept raising up until the later years, Knight's Inlet closed down. It was far out of the way, that Knight's Inlet. Go from Minstrel Island, it'll take maybe pretty a day get to Knight's Inlet, out of the way. That place, I loved that place. Although there was a lot of funny animals there, but still great big snakes. Well, being a wild country, you know, big grizzlies.
Wow, I bet it was beautiful.
Oh, the scenery, the mountains. My husband says one day he got home from sailing, I'm going to go hunting across this. He went up, climbed the mountain. He seen a lake. I guess I'll walk along that log. He thought it might be deer further on top in the mountain. He seen a log, black log. About that. Just long, about 30 feet log. He started walking, then the bushes started breaking, making noise. That log started going. Big snake. He turned back. He went backwards. Well, he ran down. A lot of big snakes there, but they never harmed nobody. But the loggers didn't like them. The cooks. It's still big chunks of meat.
Right.
They never harmed nobody. Small snakes were that big. Some were pure green, you know. Some were pitch black. But all I do is get a rock and I hit it, it goes away.
Yeah,
right. They just harmed them, they live there like us. Those women used to say, oh, their language. That Mrs. Dominic, asked Mrs. Dominic Charlie. No. She's a crazy woman, not scared of nothing. Why should I be scared, I told them. They turned around, they forget I could understand them.
Their language.
Yeah. Why should I harm them? Do they harm you? We're still working the cannery. Yeah, she says, you're right. We never go nowhere when you're not here, they said. We're still scared of the snakes. The only thing that frightened me was bees. We had an afternoon off. We'd been working all morning till 2 o'clock. I used to have a pal, Julia. She was real, both ears were blocked, you know, couldn't hear. Mm. She was kind of younger than I, but very nice woman. I told her, let's go pick some blueberries. I yelled at her. So we got in the canoe, we put it in the water. We went up in the cove. I'll tie the boat, she says. You go up and see. I had a straw hat. I went up. Oh, I was very light on my feet. I was just a little over 100 pounds. I seen a log, and I went up on the log. I looked down. There was grass and moss and blueberries, some sweet ones. Mm. Just loaded. And I jumped on this pile of grass. Must have been a bee's nest there.
Oh.
It just smoked. I run down, I pull my hat. That lady, I was just going to tie it, the rope. Bees, I told her. She thought I said bears. We shoved the canoe out and we rolled out, just like smoke, the bees.
Did they follow you?
I pulled my straw hat. Lucky I was wearing a hat. Long after I yelled at her, she lived next door to me. Oh, I still love her because she was so clean. She was a good worker, clean worker, and her home was spotless, shack, you know. She had a grandson, or a son, I forgot, Chuck Flanders. I told long after, you know, what I ran away from was bees. Oh, she's in her language, you crazy woman.
I thought you meant bears.
A lot of bears there. But they never harm nobody, too. I had 2 rooms. One bedroom and one, like, kitchen table, you know. And
these are the shacks at the cannery?
Yeah, he had brand new shacks built. Knight's Inlet, all new shacks. So it was nice, you know, and when the Indians come there, they liked it there, just a change from their homes. But they had lovely homes where they come from, because they're very saving people, their husbands, and they're very proud people. That's the Northern Indians that worked in the cannery. Whatever they did, they were willing to give money. If anything happened, they'll go and help. I always helped them, you know. I didn't expect any pay while we were working. One time they were all sitting down. I was busy there working the cannery and filling. And they got there and they told me, Mrs. Dominic, one boy's dying. And it was hot July now. I'm sure it's his stomach, I thought, something he ate. So I told my cousin's wife, the one that's died now, I'll call you if I need you, I'll go see. But those people, as soon as they know somebody's dying, They'll sit out in a row with their shawls crying. They cry while a person's dying.
Mm-hmm.
They're funny people up that way. Long ago then, I got there, I seen them sitting, sort of working the cannery. They were mourning the boy. I went to look. Oh, I thought summer complaint is going to convulsions, you know. That I had my cousin's daughter, she was about 8 or 9 years. Run, get your mother, tell her to bring 2 buckets hot water. I'll go get my buckets too. Get the tub. Everybody had tubs, you know, to wash clothes. Those that didn't have a washing machine. We'll fill it up. I'll ask the lady if she's got a woolen blanket, you know, warm. Then Amy got there, that was her name, my cousin's wife. Like his stomach's... Oh!
Okay, so we're talking... Right, so you brought the blankets and the buckets?
Yeah, when I got that boy, then I told Mrs. James Reed, you know what we'll do, you and I will grab the boy and stick him in the tub of warm water, a little warmer than warm, that will loosen his stomach right up to there, big tub. And you'd be ready with the blanket, this is a wool blanket, she had it ready. We'll have a diaper waiting because he's going to loosen out at or whatever he ate. And she wrapped him, and put a diaper on the little boy. He was about 6 years old.
Mm.
And meantime, those ladies were moaning, crying outside, waiting for him to die. Now, got him there. My medicine, what it was McDonald's plug tobacco. I used to shave that up and pour boiling water on it, hot, just enough to get it moist. Then I put a dab of lard in it or olive oil. I'd mix it up. I told her, have the diaper ready.